Is Joseph Wild here? Joseph Wild, there you are. And Gianna Lang, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
She's here. You just can't see her. There she is. All right. Good. I'm going to go quickly to see if you did the homework. It's either yes, Father Francis, or no, Father Francis, okay? If you did extra work, research, whatever, let me know. All right, here we go. Mary Grace Adams, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis, and I did some research.
Okay.
I found that.
If we have time, we'll go through that research, okay? But there's going to be a lot going on in this class today. Okay, Aquinos, did Gianna do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis, I did the homework.
And Justice?
Yes, Father Francis, I did the homework.
Okay, Bears. Joseph, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis, and I did research.
Okay. I'm giving you credit for that, too. Peter?
Yes, Father Francis. And I did some research.
You did, okay. Good. Brower. Madeline, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis. I did some research also.
Josh, did you do the homework?
He's not here, but he did the homework.
Genevieve, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Good. Cernius, Tommy? Is there a Tommy? Not here? Okay. I'll go to Duffy. Emiliana, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis, and I did some research as well.
Good job. Esther's, Teresa.
Yes, Father Francis, and I did some research.
Good. Mary Ann?
Yes, Father Francis, and I also did some research.
Good job. Angelica?
Yes, Father Francis, and I also did some research.
All three professors. Gallardo, Abraham, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Got you. Good job. Garcia, Riley, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis, and I did research.
You did the research too.
Yes.
That was your mom that got the right answer at Mass last night, right?
Yes, yeah. My aunt.
Could you have got your aunt? You said your aunt?
My aunt, yeah. Yes, Father Francis.
Could you have got the answer too?
I honestly didn't know the answer, Father.
Fine. Olivia, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis, I did the homework.
Good. Nice speaking voice. Gomez, Claire, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
All right. Hoots, Logan, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis, and I also did research.
Good. Cap, Chris, did you do the homework? I don't see him. Okay, Lang, Gianna, did you do the homework?
Wait, Lang? Me? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Father Francis, and I also did some research.
Yeah, okay. Latham, Julia, did you do the homework? Not here? None of the Lathams. Okay, Leach, Sarah. No, Sarah?
Yeah, she's here.
Where's Sarah? Do you see her? There she is. Sarah, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis, I did the homework.
Good. Oligny, Rachel, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis, and I did some research also.
I didn't hear that. Say it again.
Yes, Father Francis, and I did some research also.
Okay, good. Tolini Garrison, is he here? Did you do the homework?
No, Father Francis.
Where are you? Oh, there you are. John, did you do the homework?
No, Father Francis.
Okay. Beat your breast and do penance. Rebus, Alicia, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
All right, Daphne, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Hey, get in the camera so he can, you can talk to him. And don't
yes, Father Francis.
I can barely see you, but I heard you. Mara, did you do the homework?
It's Mara. He's talking to you.
Yes, Father Francis.
I didn't see you either, but I heard a voice. Aaron, did you do the homework?
Yes.
Yes, Father Francis.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Done. I can see the Perez's. Diego, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Okay, good. Liliana.
Yes, Father Francis.
And Melina, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Good. Santana, are they here? There they are. Andrew, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis, and I also did some research.
Oh, first time. Good. Luke.
Yes, Father Francis, and I also did research.
Really? Okay. Sophia, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Okay. Claire, did you do the homework?
No, Father Francis.
Here's an honest answer. Cyril? Is that how you pronounce it? Cameron? Cameron, did you do the homework?
Yes.
There you are. You did the homework. Okay. How do you pronounce your last name?
Sorrel. Not Sorrel. Sorrel.
This is a spell. Okay. All right. Smead, Annalise, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis, and I also did some research.
There you are. Yes. Oh, my goodness. You have all happy faces on here. Wow. Wild, Joseph, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Good. Okay, I don't have time to hear everybody. I'm going to pick on the Santanas. Andrew, tell me what you learned for class.
I learned that St. Peter was the doctor of the New Testament. And then the research I did was...
Peter was the doctor of the New Testament? Where did you get that? I didn't teach that. Where did you get that?
That's...
Doctor of the New Testament.
That's why I ran down that you said.
No. Okay, well... Okay, so you didn't learn anything there. Tell me something else.
The research that I did was that the water from Our Lady of Lourdes, the water has healing properties that it can heal the sick and injured.
Okay. All right. There you go. And then Luke, tell me what you learned.
The research that I did is I did some research on Fulton Sheen. He was attributed, he got, his miracle was attributed to, because there was a boy when he was born, he wasn't breathing and he didn't have a heartbeat, and they prayed to Fulton Sheen, And after an hour and 1 minute, he was breathing and had a heartbeat. And they said that he would have problems when he was older. Like he wouldn't be able to see, and now that he's older, he's perfectly fine.
Okay. All right, Luke. Good. Anybody else I want to pick on here? Roll down here. Not today. Okay, we got to start class. We're a little behind. There's a lot to talk about. Okay, three announcements. Here is the first. Today's class is among the two most important classes of this first semester. Week two, Christian Anthropology, and today's class, week 10, an overview of the psychological works of mercy. These are the two most important classes of the semester. If there is two classes to focus on, it would be these two. Week two gave proof that man can be seen as a threesome. Yes, you can say man is a body and a soul, okay? Man has a body and a soul. But you can also say, thanks to the Bible, thanks to church fathers, that we have a body, a psyche, and a spirit, okay? So that week was to prove that, so that we could go forward. We could have a whole year talking about three types of works of mercy, not just the corporal, not just in the spiritual, but also the psychological works of mercy. Okay, so that was a very important class. Today, we're gonna learn about the psyche. Okay, psychologists need to know this. Okay, there's a lot of confusion in psychology about emotions, you know, how many emotions there are, what's the difference between an emotion and a feeling, what does make up the psyche. This is stuff that was said before the time of Christ, a few hundred years before Christ. Aristotle gave it to us, and St. Thomas Aquinas Christianized it. When psychologists say, you know, they're on the cutting edge of the psyche, no, they're more than 2,000 years behind. If they would just read Aristotle and then later on St. Thomas Aquinas, they'd have a good view of the psyche, all right? So we have to know what the psyche is in order to know about the psychological works of mercy. Okay, so this class is very important. So that's my first announcement. Number two, you know I'm in Normantine, St. Michael's Abbey, and there's been all this talk about building a new abbey, and when are you gonna move in? When are you gonna move in? Okay, officially, unless something changes, we Norbertines are going to begin to move into our rooms the end of this month, November 30th. We're already in the process of moving. All of our books from the libraries, we have, you know, we don't have just one big library. You know, we got books, you know, in this room, in this room, in this room. All those books are now at the new Abbey. You can't put them in the new Abbey, but they're in storage. Okay, so, and now we're beginning to box up this stuff in our rooms, okay? And then that will be brought into the new Abbey and put in storage. But by the end of this month, it looks like we're going to be able to move into our rooms. And then what's planned on December 5th, we'll have our first community dinner at the new Abbey. And then December 6th, we'll have our first mass at the Abbey. We won't be able to do it in the church. We'll do it in a room, okay? But that would be our first mass at the beginning of the Advent season, the beginning of the new liturgical year, okay? So it's exciting. I've been feeling like I don't want to move. I'd rather stay, you know, and all that. But now I want to get out of there. I'm ready for change. I want to start something new. I'm excited. I'm ready, you know. I'm ready to go. So that's the update that I know of at St. Michael's Abbey. Father Joseph was in an accident. It was not his fault. He was skating in Huntington Beach near the ocean. There's this path, and you have a cyclist, you have roller skaters, skateboard riders, you have people walking, running, dogs, oh my goodness. And so what happened, a three-year-old girl just ran across that road, okay? And a cyclist was coming by. If he would have hit her, he would have killed her. And to avoid the girl, he ran into Father Joseph. I don't know if I mentioned, but his right arm, you know, it's supposed to bend this way. It bent in the opposite direction, and he saw it. But he's had a very good attitude the whole time. It's very impressive. He's the one that has the drone and gets the aerial view of the new Abbey so you can see the latest in the construction, what's going on. We were able to see this whole project from beginning to almost the end. And sometimes he'll get inside buildings and take pictures. It's professional. He's done a very good job, but he couldn't do the drone because of his arm. It's in a sling. But recently he gave us an update. He showed us an update on what's going on at the Abbey. There's more cement poured, more pavement. We're seeing more roads. Okay, so that's, and walkways. Okay, so that's one of the new things going on at the new Abbey. Third announcement has to do with the election. You probably know there's evidence of fraud. You may have heard of evidence of fraud in the voting right here in Southern California. Okay, one of our parishioners saw it herself, okay? So we got to pray. President Trump has asked us to pray. Cardinal Vigano has asked us to pray. Pray that the truth be exposed. I'm not supposed to be saying this, okay? But the Democratic Party is just getting worse and worse and worse. The lies are just more bombastic. They just look right in your face and tell you a big fat lie and make it sound like it's the truth. And they just keep doing it over and over. The mainstream media, the politicians, this party is from hell and it leads to hell, okay? It cannot be in charge of our country. It would be disastrous, okay? So we got to pray that the truth will be exposed, that will be made known, that there is fraud in all kinds of states. And pray that people who saw this will come forward and testify. Okay, but once there's enough evidence, and it gets to the Supreme Court, you know, then it's good. You know, justice will prevail. Okay, but this first step is crucial. So keep praying. Pray, you know, this is for the good of our country. And it'd be good for Democrats who are on the fringe of their party that they see how wicked this party is. And there's some, a lot of people just have their heads in the sand. They don't see what's going on. Hopefully this will be a wake up for a lot of people. How terrible this party is. It's a party of lies. And Satan is called the father of lies. Okay? And so we're going to stand up right now and we're going to pray. We'll entrust all this to Our Lady. She's the seat of wisdom. We're going to ask her intercession that the truth will be made known for the good of our country. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, time for the boards. This board and then this board. Roman numeral number one, what is the psyche? And once we know that, then we can begin to talk about the psychological works of mercy. Okay, you can't start here. You can't be talking about psychological works of mercy if you don't know this, if you don't know what the psyche is. Most people don't know what the psyche is. I mean, in the past, traditionally, the works of mercy were corporal and spiritual. Okay, so this has not been dealt with for a long, long time. Okay, so this is something new. This is something that other people are not getting. You're getting this. You're going to have a better idea of what you are, okay? Not just body and spirit. I am body, psyche, spirit. Okay? What is the psyche? It has to do with the word sense. Okay, that's the key word. Link psyche with sense. Okay? Here's the definition. This says definition. This goes up here, the red. That part of the soul having the ability to sense. I'm assuming you know the two parts of the soul. Okay? The higher part of the soul is the spirit. The lower part of the soul is the psyche. Those are the two parts of the soul. The two powers, when we talk about the two powers of the soul, that's the spiritual part. The intellect, the power of the intellect to know the truth, the power of the will to choose what's good, that's in the spirit. Okay? The spiritual part of the soul is the higher part of the soul. The psyche is the lower part of the soul. Okay, so there's three parts of man, the spirit, psyche, body, and there's two parts of the soul, spirit, psyche. All right, and the psyche is the mediator between the body and the spirit. And the psyche is in the middle. Just like Jesus is the mediator between God and man, the psyche is the mediator between the spirit and the body. How does the spirit and body communicate with each other? Through the psyche. Welcome, Chris Kapp. Chris Kapp. Chris Kapp, wake up. Chris Kapp, good morning. Chris Kapp, are you here?
Yes.
Did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
You just joined us. Okay. All right. That part of the soul having the ability to sense. So now this is the key word. For the rest of this, we want to know what this means. If you don't know what this means, you don't know what the psyche is. Okay, so you got the definition. This kind of explains it, a description. That means the IE, that's Latin, id est. That means that is. Duffy will keep me, Emiliana Duffy is going to keep me straight because she's learning Latin. And so if I make any Latin mistakes, she'll be jumping on top of me, right? Okay, to correct me. So that is, so let's talk about this definition, to receive and react to physical stimuli. The senses have to do with taking in information from the material world. Anything you can touch and smell and see and hear, okay? And then this word sense, what's the etymology of it? It comes from the Latin word sensus. It means to sense, to feel. Sentire is the verb. To sense, to feel. Okay? Now, the ability to sense, the ability to have, so if you have the ability to sense, you must have senses. Here are the senses. 5 external senses, 4 internal senses, the sense appetite, that's singular, and then I'm throwing this into, okay? Up here, this would be Aristotle, but I'm throwing this into feelings. 5 external senses. Seeing is an external sense. Hearing, smelling, tasting, touching are the 5 external senses. All right. I hope this doesn't confuse you. I want to read something from Saint Augustine. Okay, he's going to describe God using the 5 external senses. Now, you can't sense God bodily because he's spirit. God is spirit. You can sense Jesus insofar as Jesus is human, all right? You can sense Jesus with all these senses insofar as he's human. When he was here on earth, okay? So when this is talking about God using the 5 senses, I would think he's talking about not experiencing God directly through the 5 senses, but indirectly through other people, sacraments, the word. Okay. So here we go. This is probably the most popular set of words by St. Augustine. They're some of my favorite. Okay? On the feast of St. Augustine, you hear these words if you read the Divine Office, morning prayer. This is from his book, The Confessions. This talks about his experience. He was resistant towards God, Jesus, the church. He did everything he could to stay away from all that. He fought it. And it came to a point where he had an intellectual conversion, and then he had a heart conversion. And he just knelt down and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And out of that came this. Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. This is St. Augustine talking about God. Late have I loved you, O beauty. He's seeing God as beauty, beauty itself. Everything is beautiful because of God. Ever ancient, ever new, late have I loved you. You were within me, I was outside. I was outside of myself. And it was there that I searched for you. In my unloveliness, I plunged into the lovely things which you created. You were with me, but I was not with you. Created things kept me from you, yet if they had not been in you, they would have not been at all. Here it comes, the five senses. You called, you shouted, you broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone, you dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me, and I drew in breath, and now I pant for you. That has to do with this. I have tasted you, and I hunger and thirst for more. You touched me, and I burn for your peace. St. Augustine, using the five senses to describe God and his experience of God. Okay? Five senses. We can't know without them. Okay? Five external senses. Now, four internal senses. We all know about imagination and memory, right? That those are two internal senses. When we talk about common sense, it's not this. This is something different. And the cogitative sense, neither of these two we're going to talk about in class. I don't want to confuse you any more than already. I mean, this is pretty complex. These are five internal senses. There's four internal. We're only going to talk about two for this class, okay? If you want to learn about these, you can do it on your own. You can do that for extra credit, fine, or, you know, research. But it's you don't have to know this for this class, all right? Sense appetite. So we got five external senses, four internal senses. Sense appetite has two powers, the concupiscible power and the irascible power. We don't use these words in everyday language. Those sound kind of strange, kind of funny. What is concupiscible? I think we already did this. It comes from the Latin word Cupid. The Roman god of love. Okay, supposedly, right? So it has to do with love. The fundamental emotion is love, all right? And these all have to do with love or their opposite. The concupiscible power is made up of six emotions. I'll explain those soon. But it comes from the word love. The con before it means with. So it's connected with love. It has to do with love. Okay, so when you think concupiscible, think love. Irascible. You've heard of the word irritable, irritation, irate. Okay, that comes from the word anger. All right. All these emotions have a pair, an opposite. The opposite of love is hate, okay? Anger is the only one that doesn't have a pair. No one wants to be paired up with anger. It's on its own. It's a solo, okay? So these emotions, the irascible power, which stands out here is this, the one that doesn't have a pair. So it's named after this one, anger. Now remember, don't forget, when Adam and Eve were created, they were created very good. Everything about them was very good. Their spirit, their psyche, their body was very good. That means their emotions were not just good, but very good. All right? But because of original sin, it messed us up. We're fundamentally good, but we have a fallen nature. We're inclined towards death. Spiritual death, psychological death, physical death. And we see that in everyday experience. Okay? So our emotions are out of whack. They're not balanced. Generally, we have too much or too little of any of the emotions. Too much anger, not enough anger. Too much hatred, not enough. Too much emotional love, or not enough. It's hard to get the balance. All right? So a total of 11 emotions. Try to find one psychologist, you know, ask any psychologist how many emotions there are. See if they come up with this. Don't give them any hints. All right, 6 + 5 = 11. Okay, so once that there's sense appetite, singular, made up of two powers, concupiscible, irascible, but a total of 11 emotions. 11 emotions make up the sense appetite. Okay, let's go through these emotions. The most fundamental is love. Now remember, there's various kinds of love. There's the love in our psyche. All right, it's an emotion. Emotional love, feel good love. Again, that was created good, very good. Now, there's also the love in our soul, our will. That's spiritual love. Okay? And when it has to do with the supernatural, with God, with the saints, when it has to do with participating in God's love, sharing in the love of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that would be supernatural love. Okay, so three kinds. Well, there is the emotional love. There is a love in our soul, and that can be divided between a natural love and then supernatural love. All right? So don't confuse them. Sometimes people talk about love, but they mean a sin. They mean lust. Okay? So love is used all kinds of ways. I mean, romantic love and sacrificial love, giving love, all kinds of ways it's used. To be able to distinguish the different kinds of love. Just because someone says they love you, it might not be a supernatural love, okay? It might be healthy, it might be, you know, a real genuine love, but sometimes it's a bit perverted. The opposite of love is hate, dislike. Now be very careful with this word. Just like there is the love in, that's an emotional love and the love in our will, which is spiritual, so too with its opposite. Okay, there's a difference between having an emotional hatred and having a hate in our will. That would be a, if it's in the will, that's a sin. Okay, you can hate what a person says or does if it's evil, we should. We can never hate a person. You can hate with an emotional love, but not with the spiritual. You can hate emotionally, but you cannot hate in your soul. You cannot hate if it's coming from our spirit. Okay, you can again be able to distinguish between. Let's take the sin of adultery. To hate the sin, the sixth commandment, to hate it, to know this leads to hell, but to still love the persons who are doing it. You want them to get to heaven. Okay? Okay. Now, there's two kinds of love in this sense. The type of love where you don't have what you love. It's not in your possession. You haven't acquired it yet. It's out there. That would be desire. I desire a juicy cheeseburger for lunch. Okay? Do you have it in front of you? No. Do you smell it? Do you see it? Can you taste it? No. Okay, that's desire. Now, when it's lunchtime and you bite into your cheeseburger, it's yours. It's coming down. I can feel it, smell it, taste it, touch it. And I got all these, I can't hear it maybe, but all these other senses. That's delight, or you can say joy. You have what you desire. So love can either be a desire or delight. You either have what you love, that's over here, or you don't have what you love. I desire to get to heaven. The greater the desire for heaven, the greater will be the joy when you get there. The greater your desire to be a saint, to grow in virtue, the greater will be your joy when you do become a saint. All right? So that's the two kinds of love. And same with hate. There's two kinds of hate. I hate bicycling in the rain. I've done it every year, all 27 years. I've always hated it, but I still do it. I'm not bicycling in the rain right now, so I have an aversion for it. Just thinking about it is like, yeah, it is chilly, soaked to the bone. It's windy, it's this blah, 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 blah. Yes. So that'd be aversion. When I'm actually bicycling in the rain, it's sadness. Okay, I'm gonna be wet for a while. Even if it stops raining, my whole body is gonna be wet. My clothes will be wet. My socks will never dry out, okay, until I get off the bike and put them out in the sun or whatever. Okay, so when you hate something, but you're not experiencing it, it's not something within your reach, it's not something you're possessing, then it'll be aversion. But when you do experience what you hate, that would be sadness. Or you could say sorrow. So you can say delight or joy or sadness or sorrow. All right? So those are six emotions called concupiscible powers, right? Now, these are different. The irascible powers are different. Hope is desire plus difficulty. Okay, I desire that apple over there. Mommy, can I have that apple? Okay, you just go over and you take it. Yes, you can have that apple. Okay. Hope is different. You have a desire, but it's going to be difficult. I hope I can get to a good college. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to have to study hard, do all my classes to the best of my ability. I'm capable of A's, but it's still going to be hard. I'm going to have to make sacrifices. There's times I'll be wanting to do something, but I won't because I got to study. Okay, this is hope. It's not just desire. It's difficult, but it's possible. I hope that I get a good job. I'm capable of getting a good job, but it's still going to be hard. It's going to take a tremendous amount of discipline, hard work. It could be years before I get it. So that's hope. That would be a natural hope. That's different than supernatural hope. Supernatural hope is a supernatural desire that would be coming from our soul, not an emotion. Supernatural desire plus difficulty. Jesus said, the road is narrow, few find it. That is difficult. But all things are possible with God. Okay, it's going to be a lot of suffering, a lot of heartaches, headaches, disappointments. Okay, but it's worth it. So that would be supernatural hope. Okay, this is the emotion of hope. This would be a natural hope coming from our psyche. It's not coming from our will, from our soul. Okay, it's not that kind of a hope. That's a natural hope too. But this is an emotion. This is in the psyche. Now, the opposite of that is despair, a lack of hope, or no hope. Since I've been at St. Michael's Abbey, I entered in 1984, long before you were born. Okay, that kind of dates me, get an idea of how old I am. Ever since I've been in the Abbey, I've been wanting to sing. I was learning Gregorian chant on my own and even practicing it on my own. I'm musically gifted as far as piano. I can read fairly well, notes. I have an ear for music. I know what sounds good and what doesn't. And my dad had a good voice. My mom has a good voice. I grew up with music. I grew up with my brothers sing very, they had very good training. Yeah, I know I'm capable of singing well. That's hard to believe if you've heard me sing, okay? I'm capable, but it's one obstacle after the next, ever since I entered the Abbey. I came in with hope, and then it would just go into despair. You know, my allergies, or I'd get bronchitis, the smoke. You know, we've had fires around the Abbey, and then my lungs kind of get smoky, and it's hard. So I'm coughing, even though there's no disease, there's no illness, it's just the smoke in my lungs, okay? I'm sensitive to that stuff. So this has happened up and down ever since 1984. There's the hope, and then the despair, and then the hope, and then the despair. It's just been going on and on and on and on. I never quite give up, okay? But these times where I just feel like, forget it. I'm just not meant to sing. When we had when our Abbey was just shut in, you couldn't leave, we sang every day for those 3 months. And I was there for everything. And I was just beginning to build up my voice. I was just beginning to find my voice. And then the parish opened back up. You can't sing in the parish. And then with the smoke, I've been coughing ever since it's been smoky. A lot of people aren't, but I do. I think it's compounded with the allergies. Okay, so I'm in despair mode again. Okay, but on the emotional level, this is not serious. It's not like when the kind of despair where you want to kill yourself. It's not that at all, all right? It's not a despair of life. It's just a despair of singing well. Okay, so what? So what if I never sing well? That's so what? All right. Daring and its opposite, fear. Okay. All these were created good. They all have their purpose. We should feel all of these. None of these are bad in themselves. We should hate sin. God hates and Satan loves. Have you ever thought of that? On a spiritual level, okay, not emotional level. But God hates sin. Satan loves evil, loves sin, loves destroying or damaging God's work of creation and salvation. Have you ever thought of that? We see God as a lover and Satan as a hater, but it's also true to say the opposite. And we are to be both. We are to love all that's of God, all that is good. Even passionately, naturally and supernaturally. And we should hate all that which is against God. We should hate evil. We should hate sin. We should hate ignorance and error, emotionally and in our soul. That's healthy. It's not just this is good and this is bad. They can both be good or they can both be evil. They can be perverted or balanced. Okay. So same with daring and fear. Fear can be a good thing. Sometimes we associate fear with cowardice. Not necessarily. Maybe so. But maybe it's the smart thing to do, to run away from a wild animal so you don't get eaten up or bit or hurt. That fear helps move you to run or climb up a tree or defend yourself. Okay? Well, if you defend yourself, that'd be the daring. Okay? Daring can be good or bad. You have someone from my time, you wouldn't know Evel Knievel and his, you know, taking the motorcycle and driving over 18 buses and then smashing most of the bones in his body. He was seen to be daring, But why do something so stupid? Why being a bad example for dumb boys who are going to try to do something like that? Boy, I can do that. Okay, and then they break their bones too. How stupid. Daring can be helpful to be courageous, to go right into danger when you have to accomplish the greater good. Jesus needed the daring to be courageous, to courageously head towards Jerusalem where he knew he was going to be killed. He was going to go through the greatest suffering ever in the history of mankind. But he just kept walking. That's the emotion of daring, which is helpful to be courageous. It's part of courage. And because of this, he saved us. He opened the gates of heaven. He merited the grace for us to be saved. Took away the sins of the world, made us children of God. Okay? But in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat blood. If anybody had fear like no one else, that would be Jesus. Was that a sin? No. Was that evil? No. It matched the evil that was out there he was going to experience. The greatest evil ever in his body, his psyche, his spirit. The greatest suffering anybody would ever go through. So, of course, he's going to feel evil. But there was nothing wrong with it. The most intense evil possible, he experienced it. But it was healthy because it matched the evil that was out there. Okay? Jesus experienced all these emotions, but never in a perverted way. Always in a healthy way. This is supposed to be the human way, okay? But because of our fallen nature, plus our sinfulness, we tend to have unbalanced emotions, perverted emotions, emotions that hinder us from being virtuous, hinder us from being saints. Okay, so if you want to be a saint, this has to be healthy. And if it's not, it needs to be healed. Okay? Anger is made up of two emotions. That's something different than all the others. Each one of these is one emotion, but this is made up of two. Here we go again. You have hatred, a hatred of the evil. When some people say they're angry, sometimes it's really hatred. They hate the evil and that's it. Okay? But anger is hatred plus desire. You desire to right the wrong, to make it better. To correct. Okay, so this is what's going on in our country now. Right now there's a lot of anger, a hatred because of the lie, the cheating, the fraud going on with the mass media, going on with our some of our politicians and those united to them. There's a lot of hatred for something that is meant to destroy our country. Not just that, it's already been damaged, okay? But this, what's happening now is meant to destroy our country. So yeah, there should be a lot of hatred for the evil. This is coming ultimately from hell. It's that bad. Okay, but anger is hatred plus desire, a desire to make it right, to make the truth known, to testify that there has been fraud. I saw it. I recorded it. Here it is. I mean, this has happened. People recording the actual fraud taking place in all kinds of states. Why? Because they want to make it better. There's a desire to right the wrong. Anger can help us do that. Is that a bad thing? No. I hear tons and tons of, I heard 6.5 hours of confessions between Tuesday night and Wednesday morning in Yorba Linda, St. Martin de Porres, just like the week before. Okay? I'll be hearing a few hours of confessions here at San Segundo on Saturday and other times while I'm here this week. Some people think all anger is a sin. It can't be. Sin comes from the will. That's in the higher soul, not the lower soul, the psyche. Sin essentially is in the will. So none of these can be sins. They can be unbalanced. They can be evil emotionally. They can contribute to the sin. They can be an expression of the sin. But none of the 11 emotions in themselves are sinful. Now, if there is sin in the will, a bad choice, a choice to do wrong, moral wrong, sometimes that choice comes from an imbalance. It's influenced by an unbalanced emotion. Too much sadness, too much anger, too much love, the wrong kind of love, the wrong kind of desire, the wrong kind of delight, okay? It's messed up. And so that influences sometimes, especially if it's passionate, it's intense, that can influence the choice. The will to make a bad choice, a morally bad choice. Okay, so it can influence that, but it's not a sin in itself. It contributes to it, or, you know, the will does choose to do something morally evil, and then these emotions are, or one or two or four emotions are part of carrying out that sin. Okay, so on Judgment Day, when we are assigned to heaven or purgatory or hell, it's not just the will that goes to heaven or hell. It's not just the will that's punished, but all that in us that contributed to the will, the thinking, the feeling, the doing. You can't rob a bank without a hand. Without an arm, okay? That contributes to the robbery. Is it the choice of the arm to rob? No. Is it the choice of the hand to rob? No. Essentially, it's in the will. But the hand, the arm contributed to the robbery. So all sin will be punished. And all that was part of the sin will be punished. So the whole being will be punished in hell, not just the will. But the emotions were contributing to the sin, being part of the sin. People who go to heaven, it's not just their will that goes to heaven, the power of choosing good, morally good, it's gonna be the whole being that participated in that, that will be rewarded. You see the difference between the wrong view of saying any of these can be sins. No, they can't be sins. Sin is in the will. But the emotions can participate in the sin or the virtue. And so we'll be punished or rewarded with the will. Okay? A lot of people don't see this. They confuse this. I hear it often in the confessional. There is a lot of, this is one reason why I'm teaching this, because of what I experience every week in the confessional. There's a lot of confusion, okay, about the emotions in relation to sin. And psychologists are not on the same page. Okay. All right, so that took a long time to explain. Now, most people, maybe 90%, 95% of people, do not know the difference between a feeling and an emotion. They think they're synonymous, they're the same. No. Feelings, that's a bigger circle, big circle. In the circle, you have all kinds of feelings, including the emotions. Emotions are feelings, but not all feelings are emotions. Can I prove that? Yeah, right here. So feelings include emotions, and emotion-like feelings, but also bodily feelings that aren't connected directly, that are not the same as emotions. Okay, I feel hot. I feel cold. I feel sick. I feel healthy. I feel energetic. I feel depleted, exhausted. Okay, I feel sweaty. I feel dry. I feel, too much again. I feel really hungry. I haven't eaten all day long. I could eat a horse. Okay. So those are bodily feelings. There is tons of them. We'll talk about feelings. We'll get in more detail. There's hundreds of feelings. Okay, now there's 11 emotions, but there's feelings that are emotion-like.
I feel angry.
I feel irate. I feel furious. I feel indignation. These are all connected to anger, different nuances. Okay, wrath, that would be really intense anger. Indignation would be a morally righteous anger, a healthy anger. I feel indignation towards those who committed this fraud in our country, who lied about the election. Whatever they did, I feel indignation towards that. Okay, that's good. That's how you should feel. It's a kind of anger, but a healthy, wholesome anger, a God-like anger, a Christ-like anger. Maybe another one. I feel optimistic. It's not the same as hope. Okay, but there's something connected to it. Or I feel pessimistic. That's closer to this. It's not the same. It's not an emotion. But it's more closer to an emotion than, you know, a bodily feeling. Let's see, what would be another one? I feel terrified. What's the word St. John Paul II used to describe Jesus and the Passion? A type of fear that is like the heaviest kind of fear. It starts with a D. Dread. Dread. I feel dread. You know, Jesus must, according to St. John Paul II, this is what Jesus felt in the Garden of Gethsemane. Dread. The heaviest kind of fear. I mean, it just, this tremendous weight on him, and knowing just how much he was going to suffer and where this was ultimately coming from. This was coming from hell. Okay. I feel what are other words for fear? Timid, that's kind of, you know, kind of fearful, lightly fearful. I feel terrified. I feel, I don't know. But there's several for fear, and same with these others. Different nuances. Delight, joy. Sometimes people just say happy, but that's just way too general. It has to do with delight, joy, but it's something, you know, more than that. Okay, so more about the feelings later in a few classes from now. We're going to talk about the emotions in some detail, and then one class on feelings. Okay, but this gives you a basic idea of the emotions and feelings. Feelings is the bigger circle that contains the smaller circle of the emotions, okay? Emotions is a smaller circle. Feelings a much, much bigger circle that contains this smaller circle. Any questions regarding this board? Okay, this is some of the most important stuff for this semester. Okay, right here, this is it. Yes?
Can I find more information on the emotions?
Aristotle's De Anima. And it's in St. Thomas Aquinas. Look at the beginning, the first week of this year, sources. Okay, so St. Thomas Aquinas, you have the Summa Theologia, part two, part two. And then question 32, that would be on mercy, works of mercy. But there's also this part one, which is, you know, about Christian anthropology. That's the one. I'd be interested in that. Okay, Garrison. Garrison, you are.
Can you hear me, Father?
Huh?
Can you hear me, Father?
You got a question? I can hear you.
Earlier you said emotions can contribute to sin and like the relation to sin. What is emotions' relation to virtue?
Well, you have the cardinal virtues, four of them. And all the moral virtues are one of those four. So one of the cardinal virtues is temperance. Temperance takes in all kinds of other virtues that have to do with desire. Having a healthy desire for alcohol, not too much. A healthy desire for food, not too much. A healthy desire for sex, not too much, not too little, okay, healthy. And all kinds of other desires, okay? So a whole group of virtues that have to do with having a balanced desire. Another cardinal virtue that takes in a bunch of other virtues is courage, and that has to do with fear, not too much fear. A fear that paralyzes, that keeps you from doing the good you need to do. There's going to be suffering, maybe plenty of it, intense suffering, but you got to go through it. You got to go through all this terrible stuff in order to accomplish the greater good. Your salvation, someone else's salvation, God's glory, you know, the salvation of souls. Okay, so these virtues have to do with fear. Healthy fear. You can't have those virtues without a balanced fear. So those are two of the four cardinal virtues. Maybe half of the virtues right there have to do with fear and desire. Okay. Now justice is another cardinal virtue that has to do with the will, not the emotions. And then prudence, the fourth cardinal virtue, has to do with it's about prudence. It's knowing practically how to get to your goal, your end, whether it's natural or supernatural. Okay, Christian prudence or a natural prudence. Okay, so the cardinal virtues dealing with the will and the intellect are not directly dealing with the emotions, but those first two are. So half of the virtues have to do with emotions, balanced emotions. Okay, good question. Good question. Anything else? Both of these questions show you're smart, you're thinking, you're listening, you're taking this stuff in. Okay, there is such a thing as a dumb question, but I'm not hearing those. I'm not hearing those so far. They're all good, smart questions. Can we go over here? Okay. So we know basically what the psyche is. So now we're going to begin. We're going to take the first step in talking about the psychological works of mercy. Okay. What is a psychological work of mercy? That's different than the corporal works of mercy, spiritual works of mercy. What is a psychological work of mercy? Two ways of answering it. You can answer with a double negative. It's not this bad thing. All right, that's a legitimate definition. Alleviating, taking away the misery, the suffering, the sickness, the poison, the damage in the psyche. So yeah, in order to know this, you got to know this, right? That's why this comes second. So that's a double negative. What's the positive? So like the sacrament of baptism, it washes away original sin. That's a double negative. Another definition of baptism, the sacrament that gives us the grace to be children of God, begotten of the Father, adopted children of God, the Father. Okay, that's a positive. So the positive is restoring the psyche to health, to wholeness, the way God made it, the way we were meant to be. Healthiness contributes to holiness. Wholeness. To be holy is to be whole. Everything is there. Everything is in harmony with the rest. Everything is working together to give God glory and to save souls. Okay. How many psychological works of mercy are there? Well, I didn't just come out and give you an answer because it needs an explanation. You have the five external senses, the four internal senses right here, So that's 9 senses so far. Then you have the sense appetite. That's 1 sense. But that's made up of 11 emotions. Okay? So you could speak of this as being 1 sense. Which involves all these emotions, or what I'm going to do, I'm going to just focus on the 11 emotions, okay, from the 1 sense appetite. So I'm going to say 11 instead of 1, okay, because we're going to go through each of these emotions. All right, now. I told you there's 4 internal senses, but we're only going to cover 2. We're not going to cover these 2. They're also important. This is not to say anything about, it's not judging how important they are. I'm just saying it would be confusing for our class. Okay? It's hard enough what I'm giving you now. So I'm going to focus on what we better know. Working on healing the imagination and healing the memory. So there's 9 senses that could be healed, but I'm going to knock off these 2. So that means 7. 7 senses plus the sense appetite would make it 8. But what I'm going to do is 7 senses that deal with the external, internal senses, and then 11 emotions. So that's going to be 18. We're going to talk about 18 ways of being healed psychologically. Being healed this way, this way, this way, and these ways. Okay, that's my answer. There are, I guess, if you're really strict about it, the 9 of these senses plus the sense appetite, that would be 10. That would be 10 senses. That would be the exact answer. Okay, but I'm going to make that 1 sense appetite 11 emotions plus the 7 here. So for me, for this class, I'm going to talk about 18 ways of being healed psychologically. Okay, the perfect answer would be 9 plus 1 would be 10. All right. But for my class, I'm going to say 18. Right, 18 ways of being healed, you know, plus there is these 2 ways. That would make it 20. How to heal the psyche? This is a really generic answer. You got to start here, but this is not enough. All right. Hopefully, as we go through this course, we'll have a better, we'll know more how to answer this question. It's helpful to learn psychology, but I have a wide view of psychology. You don't necessarily have to read books on it, take courses from a professor at a university, get a degree in psychology. That's good. I recommend it. There's another way of learning psychology without reading books, although however helpful it is, okay? To learn psychology from everyday life, having people in your life that are healthy psychologically, They have a healthy psyche that can do more than reading books. If you have parents that are healthy psychologically, that's probably better than reading books on it. To have everyday experience with people who are psychologically balanced. Friends, psychologically healthy. Okay? We have a priest in our San Bernardino diocese that's very busy. Okay, he's right under the bishop. He's in charge of the whole Riverside County part of the diocese. It used to be two priests were in charge of that. Now it's just him. And with COVID, there's more people to, more confirmations, because you can only have 100 people at a time. So he's doing tons and tons of confirmations for months. He doesn't have time to read books on psychology. But Father Rafael Partita has a lot going for him psychologically because of his parents. Okay, he learned so much from his parents growing up without having to read. And so he's been able to be quite helpful to people in the confessional and directing young men into the seminary and helping older people, all kinds of people. Okay, so there's two ways of learning psychology. The ideal would be both. You experience it from others who are healthy psychologically, and you get it from the books. Both of those together, very helpful. Okay, if you had a choice of two, of the two, which one? My opinion would be, it'd be better if you learned it from people that are psychologically healthy. All right? It's more part of you. Rachel, you have a question?
Yeah, what makes you psychologically healthy?
Very good. We're going to have a better, we'll be able to judge that better as we go through this course. Okay? Right now, we can't do that. We're not in a good position to do that. But hopefully, as we go through this course, we'll be in a better position. This is an answer that you better know as you grow psychologically. It takes time. It takes a lot of experience. Okay? You're told don't compare yourselves with others, but that's a way of learning about yourself, learning about the good in you and the bad in you, to compare. Okay, this is what's different about us. All right, so very good question. That's a hard one to answer. All right. Olivia, where did you go? There you are. You have a question?
Yeah, it's not about the boards, but again, with the homework on your fatherfrancisclass.org website, you guys did post the recording for this week, but it was actually a recording from like a couple weeks beforehand. So it wasn't like the week 9 healing recording. It was a recording from a couple weeks ago.
Oops. Okay, thank you.
I will fix it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Please.
Are the works, the the psychological works of mercy, or are they more like works of mercy, or is it more vague?
More what? Vague?
Is it, yeah, is it like actual works of mercy, like feeding the hungry, or is it more like kind of...
To help heal someone, that's real life. This is what psychologists are supposed to be doing. Okay? Maybe you've heard talks on healing of the memory. That's important, okay? This is real life. Sometimes people are hindered spiritually because they're hindered psychologically. And you get a breakthrough psychologically, you get healing psychologically, and that can help you in your spiritual life. Okay? Yeah. Also, sometimes illnesses, physical illnesses, aren't, the cause of them isn't necessarily physical. It could be psychological. So you take care of the psychological problem, it'll take care of the physical problem. There are things doctors can't deal with, they can't help people with, because they don't forgive, which is something spiritual. And it can happen too on the psychological level. So yeah, this is real life. This is not fake, okay? How to heal the psyche? Identify the unhealthy senses in the person. Okay, that person has a problem with their eyes. You know, they're not controlling their eyes. They're just looking, they need to have more custody of their eyes in order to lower the lust in their lives. Okay, that's the problem. Or some people are just so, they're listening to, you know, their ears are just too open to gossip. They need to work on this, okay, walking away, changing the subject. Right. So identify the unhealthy sense. And then again, another generic answer, help that person in the process of healing the senses. If you have a problem on the psychological level, it can hinder you from helping others. If you have a problem psychologically and you're learning to overcome it, you might be a better teacher than someone who doesn't have a problem. Okay? Maybe not. Okay. So these are generic answers. Hopefully we'll get a better idea of how to answer this question as we go through these weeks regarding the psyche, psychological works. Okay, but this is a good start. It's not a full answer, but it's a start. So we went a lot faster on this board than this board, but this was more important. Okay, we're done with teaching. It's been an hour and 40 minutes. I think we'll call it quits, okay? I know you want to tell me stuff that you learned. We can't do it every week. We have a question from Peter. Go ahead, Peter.
Is an exorcism considered a psychological work of mercy?
Spiritual. A spiritual work of mercy. Mm-hmm. But it can also involve the psychological part of a person. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we're a threesome and it's all interrelated. It's not You know, the spirit is totally separate from the other two parts. No, they're all interconnected. They're all interconnected. So sometimes healing in one of those three parts can also in some way be healing in one of two of the other parts. Okay, because we're a oneness made up of three parts. Okay, anything else? All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for creating us to be in your image, a threesome, a reflection of you, the Trinity. Help us to better reflect your Son, Jesus Christ, spiritually, psychologically, physically, to be more Christ-like, to better love the works of mercy, to better know them, to better express them, to experience them. We ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good class.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father Francis.
Bye.
Father Francis.
Bye.
Father.
Bye.
Thank
you, Father.
Bye. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Last week.
Bye. Riley, if you're going to speak, speak now.
Do you have what should we research for this week, and what's our homework?
Just study. Tell me something you learned from the boards. You could study anything more in detail than that's on here. Yeah.
Okay.
Just go what you're interested in.
Okay.
Study what you're not.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Father.
Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Bye now.